Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always good to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Also want to remind everyone about a resource that I'm so excited about. It is my new Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution flip chart. It's 4x6. It's laminated. It will fit in a pocket or a purse, and it will equip you to always be ready to give an answer with respect to this that is not only known as a apologetic issue, but the apologetic issue. How one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. Dr. Denton correctly pointed out that evolutionism is one of the most spectacular examples in history of how a highly speculative idea, for which there's no really hard scientific evidence, can come to fashion the thinking of a whole society and dominate the outlook of an age. Again, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And also, before we go to our callers, I want to mention that we now have a brand new daily e-truth. You can get answers to life's toughest questions with my new daily e-truth. Each day has its own set of tough questions, and with my daily e-truth, you'll receive the answers you need to strengthen your faith and deepen your understanding of truth. Why? Because life and truth matter. Also available, and you'll find this on the World Wide Web at equip.org, is my new e-truth video blog. Again, you can subscribe on the World Wide Web at equip.org/e-truth. I've had some fun putting these videos together over the last couple of days, and we'll be doing that every day. And make those available. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone callers. First up is Brandon, listening in Memphis, Tennessee, on Bot Radio. Hi, Brandon.
How you doing, Hank?
Doing well. How are you?
I have a question about what you had stated earlier. You said the rapture is being imposed by most of the people that's teaching it. And my question to you is Revelation 3, verse 10, it said he gonna keep those people. He's going to keep those people that are faithful and true away from the hour of temptation, which is tribulation. So I'm trying to understand, how is Jesus going to keep us away from tribulation?
Yeah. Well, and a good question. I mean, the way this is typically posited is that as a result of the 19th century idea popularized by John Nelson Darby, there would be a pre-tribulational rapture, and that was the idea of how people would be kept from that hour of tribulation. But that's precisely why I say this is something that is imposed on the text as opposed to being taken from the text. I mean, if you look at the context of Revelation, these are seven letters written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, and they're being commanded to say, Caesar is Lord, when in reality they want to say, Christ is Lord. And so, when John sends this letter to the church at Philadelphia, he says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you, and remember he's talking to them when he addresses them as you, from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole earth and to test those who live upon the earth. Now, how in the world do you get a pre-tribulational rapture out of this in the 21st century? This is written to people in the first century in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And the promise is to them, the church at Philadelphia, you have been patient, you have been pure, and therefore you are going to be kept from the hour of tribulation. That hour of trial or tribulation was an hour that would take place in the first century, not in the 21st century. Otherwise, this would be making sheer mockery out of the words of the text. And do remember that the that the beast that is delineated in the book of Revelation, John says, with wisdom and understanding, you can discern the number of the beast and the number of his name. How can you do that if the beast is a 21st century beast? Obviously, they wouldn't be able to discern the name or number of a 21st century beast. Not only that, but you have to take seriously what Jesus says at the very beginning. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon
come to pass.
The operative word here is soon take place, and the time is near. Soon means soon, and near means near. And so this is not talking about what's going to happen in the 21st century. This is talking about what is going to happen when Jerusalem and its temple are destroyed in fulfillment of Christ's prophecy in the Olivet Discourse.
Okay. So when he say, I come at an hour that you are not aware of, see, this is where the rapture is born from, because it says, it speaks out imminently. So when he say an hour you're not aware of, that's not during the tribulation. So that's why everybody that believe in the rapture knowing that time could be now, because if you ask everybody that when Jesus can come, everybody can say he can come at any moment. Nobody that believe in the rapture would say, well, the Antichrist got to come first and then Jesus will come. Everybody understanding that believe in the rapture, that Jesus can come at any moment.
Well,
and this would be the rapture.
Sure, and I don't believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. I believe that Jesus could come any moment. But the point is, we have to read... Beg pardon?
You do believe Jesus can come in any moment?
Of course, and I tell people all the time that you should be prepared as though his coming is a long way off, and prepare as though he might come in the next millisecond, because we have no notion whatsoever when Jesus will come again. What we do know, however, is in the pre-tribulational rapture theology, what happens is the pre-tribulational rapturist knows precisely when the second coming is going to be, because all they have to do is just add 7 years to the time of the pre-tribulational rapture, and that's when the second coming is going to be. But no one knows when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. We don't have a single bit of evidence that would point us to know that time. We only know that he will come again, and when he does, he will put all things to right.
That's correct. But if Jesus come before the tribulation, Hank, what would you call that?
Well, but in my view, there's no warrant whatsoever to take a tribulation that's biblically fulfilled and then transport it into the 21st century. That's the point. This is something that Jesus spoke about in the Olivet Discourse and pointed back to the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, and he uses that to point forward to what is going to happen when Jerusalem and the temple are going to not only be desecrated as it was under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, but utterly destroyed. You also have to read Scripture in context. In the Olivet Discourse, Jesus had left the temple and he was walking away, and his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. And he said, "Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." And later on, as Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples come to him privately and they say, "Tell us, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming or his judgment on Jerusalem, the end of the age of sacrifice?" And of course, Jesus says, now, no one knows the day or the hour, but he says, "I tell you the truth, this generation will most certainly not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled." And this is one of the great proofs then of Christ's great prophecy, because Jerusalem and the temple, which appeared before to be invincible were then destroyed. So it is a proof of Christ's messianic ministry. So this doesn't have to do with his second appearing. What it has to do with is his coming in judgment on the temple in Jerusalem, just as he foretold and prophesied. I've written about this in a great deal of detail, if you want to get into the detail itself, in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible says about the end times and why it matters today. Back to the phone lines. Tom in Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tom.
How you doing, Hank?
Doing well.
My question has to do with the afterlife and hell, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I've been reading John, Revelation, everywhere it speaks about the second death, and everything that I'm gathering from all that says that, at least in my mind, and I want to double-check it with you, is that when you die and you go before judgment, if you're cast into the lake of fire, you pretty much cease to exist. Is that correct, or am I reading wrong?
No, God does not wipe out the crowning jewels of his creation. He continues to sustain them in existence, albeit apart from his goodness and his glory and his grace. So remember Jesus saying, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. Now, so we have the indication from our Lord himself that all will be resurrected. So, for example, the rich man that Jesus gives us a picture of in Luke chapter 16, he's
right.
Absent the body, and he's now in torment. But he will be resurrected, which means that his soul will return to a resurrected body. He will be judged and then forever separated, which is the second death. The second death is contrasted in the book of Revelation with the first resurrection, and we are partakers even now of the first resurrection because we are partakers of the divine life, as Peter puts it. And so those who are not will not be wiped out, but will be sustained in existence apart from God for all eternity, because that is what they want. They don't want a relationship with God. They'll suffer, as it were, the erasure of the imago Dei, or the image of God within them. We were created with the image of God, which was marred in the fall, but is restored through the work of Jesus Christ and will be fully restored in the new heavens and the new earth. But for the unregenerate, it will be erased, and so they will no longer have the ability or the wherewithal to relate to God.
Okay, so they'd still be around, it just it'll be more of a torment because they know what they should have done versus what they ended up doing.
Well, it's a torment in that they are no longer able to do what they were created to do. We were created for fellowship with God, and hell is the deprivation of that very thing. At present, there's a veil, as it were, that separates the habitation of God from the habitation of humanity. In the greatest size, that veil is removed, and then heaven and earth are, as it were, conjoined. The habitation of God and the habitation of humanity become one and the same. Now, we can imagine that hell is a different dimension. It's not something we'll ever stumble into, but just as the habitation of God is now veiled from the habitation of humanity, in the greatest size, the habitation of the damned will be veiled from those who are forever in God's presence.
Okay, is this in any of your...
Yeah, I've written about this in...
Study up?
Sure, yeah, I've written about this in some detail in a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. You can find it in bookstores everywhere, or you can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can just hang on, we can get a copy to you.
Okay, sounds great. I do appreciate it.
You got it, and want to mention once again a flip chart that I'm so excited about. It's available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. I use farce as an acronym to demonstrate five principles. F-A-R-C-E. The F stands for the fossil record. And the fossil record simply says no. There are transitions within kinds, but never transitions from one kind to another. A cat never evolves into a dog. A hippo never evolves into a whale. Ape men, fiction, fantasies, and frauds abound. I mean, we see the icon has become the argument. If you look at Time or National Geographic, you'll see the knuckle-dragging ape through various gradations becoming a modern human. But that icon has no basis whatsoever in reality. The R stands for recapitulation, known by the popular evolutionary cliché ontogeny, recapitulates phylogeny, the idea that the emerging embryo goes through all of the evolutionary stages. Again, this is based on deception and doctored drawings. Chance, in this sense, design without a designer. I show that there's no chance to form even something as simple as a protein molecule by random processes. And finally, empirical science, which undergirds the creation model and undermines the evolutionary paradigm. Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Get your copy on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back.
Throughout the month of December, we've been sharing with you how important it is for us to close the final $590,000 funding gap so we can continue bringing a biblical perspective to the issues of our day in the new year and counter the lies emanating from our culture. If you have yet to respond with your gift, please take a moment right now and visit equip.org. Equip.org. That's equip.org. Thank you. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute as we must close a funding gap of $590,000 by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. thank you for your generous response. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? With the Equip app available free from the Christian Research Institute, you can. The Equip app is now available for Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read articles to help you learn and defend the faith. Go to equip.org and download this free app for your Android device today. Again, that's equip.org. And now, with more answers, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking about that flip chart, one of the chilling aspects of the evolutionary paradigm is it replaces the sovereignty of God with the sovereignty of self. The supposed death of God ushered in an era in which human beings proclaimed themselves sovereigns of the universe. And nowhere was that more evident than at the Darwinian Centennial Convention, which celebrated the 100th anniversary of Darwin's publication of The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection. With pomp and ceremony, Sir Julian Huxley got up and said this, and this quote is in the flip chart. He said, "In the evolutionary system of thought, there is no longer need or room for the supernatural. The earth was not created, it evolved. So did all the animals and plants that inhabit it, including our human selves, our mind, our soul, as well as our brain and body. So did religion. Evolutionary man can no longer take refuge from his loneliness by creeping for shelter into the arms of a divinized father figure whom he himself has created as a figment of his own imagination." And with God relegated to the status of a Disney character, like the cosmic Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland, we're finally free to grab for all the gusto that life has to offer. And of course, what did we get? Instead of God, we now have gonorrhea. In other words, God sets parameters around our lives, not because he is a cosmic killjoy, but so our joy might be complete. Ideas of consequences, all of that laid out in Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. Back to the phone lines and talk to Dana, listening in St. Louis, Missouri on Bod Radio. Hi, Dana.
Hey, how are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was wondering about earlier on the broadcast, I heard you briefly touch on the subject of ghosts, and I was curious about your thoughts on the show Long Island Medium. And the reason I'm asking is because I have some good friends who watch the show and seem to really enjoy it. And I've actually watched it myself, and it appears that the woman is, you know, doing something positive for the family. But at the same time, I know that the Bible speaks against that. So I just wanted to get your opinion.
Well, it does. I mean, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, or you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And there's a reason for this. First of all, we shouldn't try to get information from anyone other than from the Lord. Secondly, what you have with the mediums is deception. They mutter, but they can't give you truth. They can only give you sleight of hand and sleight of mind, so they delude you. We should be very thankful that God does not give us information about the future, but only gives us enough light to step into some more light. If God blazed the light down the trail of our lives, we would not want to face the future. Because what he does instead is he gives us, with each difficulty, the grace we need when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. So we shouldn't acquire of mediums and spiritists, but rather of the Lord our God. And he has given us everything necessary for faith and practice in the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which we call the Word of God.
Okay, makes sense. Can I ask a piggyback question off of that?
Yeah, you sure can.
Okay, because what would be your encouragement for someone, like how a Christian can work on discerning spirits? And the reason I ask is because, like, I've been to churches where you know, like people are being, I guess, what's called slain in the spirit and, you know, falling all over the floor and stuff. And it makes me, like, my stomach upset or makes me just feel really uncomfortable. But how do you discern what's coming from the Holy Spirit and what could be coming from, like, somewhere else?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important that you test all things and hold fast to that which is good, which is to say that the notion of slain in the spirit, if you test that in light of Scripture, you find that there's no biblical basis for it whatsoever. Nowhere do you find this phenomenon practiced by Jesus Christ or the disciples. And in point of fact, what you recognize in the modern epic is that what is going under the rubric of slain in the spirit is a function of people being worked into an altered state of consciousness, peer pressure, the enhancement of their expectations, and the subtle power of suggestion. Imagine this, if I laid a plank on the ground and asked you to walk along that plank, you'd have no problem doing it whatsoever. But if I took that same plank and perched it between the twin spires of a cathedral and asked you to walk it, you would fall every single time. Why? Because the fear of falling would create the reality. And so it is with those who are aping the practices of pagan spirituality. What was once relegated to the ashrams of cultists is now front and center before the altars of churches. And quite frankly, it is a travesty. There's nothing whatsoever to commend it in Scripture. Rather, the Scripture says that we are to be alert and sober-minded because our adversary, the devil, prowls around seeking those he wishes to destroy. So we shouldn't be involved in occultic practices, but rather principles that are firmly tethered in the Word of God.
Okay, thank you so much. That was so helpful. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Frank. He's listening in Charleston, West Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Frank.
Hi, thank you for having me on your show, to tune into your show. I have a question since we're on the supernatural. Okay, I had this dream last night, okay? And in my dream, there was a demon that was in my room. It, like, flew in my mouth and out of my mouth and was flying across the room. And, you know, I was quoting scriptures and crying out that the Lord rebuked the spirits. Okay, eventually the demon went away. But what struck me, or what's gotten me, is that when I woke up this morning, I had three holes in this T-shirt that I was wearing. Now, the T-shirt was a brand-new T-shirt I had gotten for my birthday, and this is the first time that I had ever worn it. But what I was going to say is that when I was in my younger years, I used to have these dreams. My dad was a pastor, and he always would tell me to recite the Lord's Prayer, and that would work. And when it wouldn't work, I'd just take a Bible and put it up under my pillow. Is there anything that I can research? I know that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but principles. What is it? I mean, how do you think these dreams, are they just dreams? Is it a trance? I mean...
Well, Frank, let me say that I cannot ferret out every single anecdote that people give me because I don't know all the circumstances. And while I certainly do not want to dispute your story, let me say that I can test your story. First of all, demons are non-physical beings. They're non-corporeal. They don't have physical prowess. They can't bite you. They can't scribble on your body. They can't put holes in a T-shirt because they're non-physical. They can tempt you. They can, as it were, sit on your shoulder and whisper into your ear. The whisper can't be heard with the physical ear, but it does penetrate the ear of the mind. And we don't really know how that kind of mind-to-mind communication works. I mean, even in an age of scientific enlightenment, we can't fully explain how a mind can cause the physical synapses of a brain to fire, but that they do is incontrovertible. So when it gets to spiritual warfare, we shouldn't invoke magical formulas. Rather, we should put on the full armor of God, which is precisely what we are instructed to do by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. And the basic point here is that if you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. So we put on the full armor of God, and then we can withstand principalities and powers of darkness.
Okay. Well, that's comforting to know, because like I said, this has always bothered me. I'm like, well, I mean, the t-shirt thing was the first time that's ever happened, and, you know, when I see these demons, they don't have any, they just have a little form on them. It's no person that I could ever identify. You know, I didn't know.
Well, remember that demons cannot take on physical form. They don't have creative prowess. Angels, by God's creative prowess, can take on physical form, but fallen angels cannot. So to see them is an aberration in and of itself. But look, what happens when you wake up from a dream is powerful and potent in a lot of ways. I have woken up from dreams and could not tell the difference between my dream state and my awake state. I couldn't differentiate between the two. So if I was having a vivid dream that involved demonic beings or grotesque beings or whatever, in my wake state, I couldn't tell the difference whether it was real or not real, and you have to take that into consideration as well. And that's why I say feelings are notoriously unreliable. We have to test them. I gave an illustration the other day of fact and faith and feelings walking along a narrow ledge. Fact never stumbles. And faith, as long as it has its eyes on fact, likewise will never stumble. But the moment it turns around and starts focusing on feelings, both faith and feelings fall off the ledge. They both stumble. So it's important to keep our eyes firmly facing facts. And that's why I say our faith is fact-based. It's not a blind faith. It's faith in irrefutable evidence or fact.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Like I said, it's had me kind of worried all day. But yes,
Well, and remember, you always... Feelings are notoriously unreliable. Subjective experiences are notoriously unreliable, and that's why you have to test them. And if you don't, you get into all kinds of difficulties. This is one of the reasons that God has left us His Word, so we can test all things. He's given us everything necessary for faith and practice. So the more you know the Word of God, the better you can discern what's going on in your life. And of course, studying the Word of God is both an art and a science. It's a science in that certain rules apply. It's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. It's very much like other disciplines in life. Golf, you know, it's a science and an art. I mean, there are certain principles that are involved, but the more you apply them, the better you get at it. And so this is what we have to now take to the Word of God, because it is the very thing that sustains a believer in the midst of a trail of tears. We are coming to station break. We'll be right back after the break with more right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember the Christian Research Journal? It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. Right now you can get a very special deal on the journal. Use the special offer code FALL and receive the current edition of the Christian Research Journal free, and 6 more issues for a reduced price. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Again, you need the special offer code FALL, F-A-L-L. Also, you can get more answers on the Equip app, which is now available not only for Apple, but also Android. We'll be right back in just a few moments. Please don't touch that dial.
As we come to the end of 2013, CRI must close a funding gap of $590,000 to end this year on target, which will enable us to move into 2014 ready to equip even more people with God's truth.
That's why your gift in support of CRI and the Bible Answer Man today is just so important. So please take a moment right now and call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute as we must close a funding gap of $590,000 by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you for your generous response. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. With the year winding down, the Christian Research Institute faces a major funding gap of $590,000 that must be closed by December 31st that directly impacts this broadcast, and it's only through your generous support that it can be fully closed. So please help us continue being there for the hundreds of thousands like you who benefit from the Christian Research Institute each month. Please take a moment right now and visit equip.org. Equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up, Freddie, listening in Farmers Blank, Texas. Hi, Freddie.
Hi, Hank. This is Freddie. I talked to you about a month ago when a little lady named Kathy called in, about an 80-year-old woman who was feeling real down, but she had been ministering to people in an old folks' home. Anyway, I'm calling today because I have a brother who's very involved in that Course in Miracles stuff, and I don't know anything about it except that it sounded to me like brainwashing when he tried to play the CD for me.
Yeah, it's actually channeled through an atheist psychologist named Helen Schuchman, who has been steeped in New Thought metaphysics or occultic metaphysical practices for many, many years. Ultimately, the Course in Miracles denies the separation between humanity and God. It teaches students to realize that they are not actually separated from God on account of their sin, but rather that they actually themselves are God and therefore cannot be separate from God. So it's a very dangerous idea. It denies the essentials of the historic Christian faith and in its place promotes pantheism and other New Age occult teachings, the idea that all is God and God is all. It's a westernized version of Hinduism, cleverly packaged for Western consumption, I might add.
Yes, it had a massive biblical connotations that sound, you know, very smooth. And
And that's a good point you make, because in the Course of Miracles, Christian terminology is virtually ubiquitous. You can find it throughout the text, but remember, it is reworked, rejiggered, as it were, for a completely different worldview. So it's taken out of context and used as a pretext for a decidedly different worldview.
Yes, I agree. I was listening on hold and I was going, well, this falls right under that category of farce, you know, that you were talking. It's sad, though, because even I attended a wedding a couple of weeks ago up there where they're practicing that thing. And they even had some portion out read out of the Course in Miracles book during their wedding ceremony. Yeah. It's really scary.
Well, again, this is a classic example of the need for discernment, being so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. And discernment skills are sadly lacking in the modern epoch. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jack in Delaware, Ohio. Jack's listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. My question is about Mormons.
Uh-huh.
I know Joseph Smith was a whack job, but I listen to Glenn Beck on the radio every day, and he's a Mormon, and he's always saying that Jesus Christ is Lord and is the only way to get to heaven, and you have to accept him as your Lord and Savior and ask forgiveness. So how much different could Mormons be from Christians if that's how they believe?
Well, it's a matter of understanding terminology. So let's take some of the terminology that you've just used and what you quoted from Glenn Beck. So Jesus Christ, the meaning that I would pour into those words, Jesus Christ, and the meaning that Mormons pour into those words are completely different. So they take on a completely different meaning. For me, as a biblical Christian, I believe that Jesus is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. I believe that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. Mormons believe that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer and our elder brother, which is to say that Father God and Mother God have spiritual offspring, and those spiritual offspring include Jesus and Lucifer.
Really?
This is a completely different idea than the Christian idea of who Jesus Christ is. And you have to ask now, how do we know which one is right? Well, one's based in irrefutable evidence, the other in an odd predilection, which is to say the Book of Mormon does not correspond to reality any more than Mormon teaching in general corresponds to reality. You also mentioned heaven. Well, the idea that Mormons have with respect to heaven is decidedly different than the idea that we have with respect to heaven. They believe that there's a terrestrial heaven, a telestial heaven, and a celestial heaven. And in fact, in the celestial heaven, there are three different levels. And if you're a temple Mormon with a temple recommend, you can get to the third level of the Mormon heaven. You can be a god in your own right. and have endless celestial sex with your many goddess wives. I mean, the idea in Mormonism is that God was once a man and he attained godhood, and as God is, we too may become. So again, it's a completely different worldview, and their authority is not the Word of God. I mean, certainly it includes the Word of God in their view, insofar that it is correctly translated, but their primary authority is the Book of Mormon, which they call the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to our religion. So again, it's a completely different worldview, and while Mormonism, through the spin of a PR department, is trying to look more and more like Christianity, nothing could be farther from the truth. When it comes to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, they either compromise, confuse, or outright contradict them.
So study instead of and not just listen.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you always have to ask the question, what do you mean by what you say? Because the kingdom of the cults, they use our language, but they pour their own meanings into the words.
Okay. Well, Hank, you are awesome. I mean, I listen to you every day, and I can't tell you how much I believe like that. You know, I never looked into that. I just said, well, see, they believe in Jesus Christ. So you're doing an awesome work, Hank, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for those kind words. And by the way, I have written about this in various places. I did a flip chart on memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage. Also did a little booklet on that, and I have a couple entries in the Complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order your copy at equip.org or just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brett, listening in St. Louis, Missouri, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brett.
Hi, I'm a new listener to the show. I think it's only the second or third time I've listened, mostly because I kind of feel like, even though I defined myself as a Christian previously, I'm kind of finally actually becoming one. So it's been kind of as a result of a series of events in my life that have led to struggles in my marriage that have brought me to Christ. And so I guess my question today is, I'll try to keep it as brief as possible, but what does the Bible say about like restitution? And not specifically like to each individual, because I don't feel like I could go back and find every time I sinned against an individual. But things like, you know, if I cheated on a test in the past or those sorts of things. Like, I know God has already forgiven me for everything, but the guilt has often gotten to be pretty overwhelming. And so we're just curious what it said.
Well, you know, I can't speak to every single situation, but I can say this. If God lays this upon your heart, a particular circumstance that you simply can't have peace with, then perhaps you should see that as a sign that the Holy Spirit is stirring up your spirit such that you do want to make restitution. I was thinking, as you were asking the question about Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and of course, in part of the story as recounted in Luke, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I had cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, Zacchaeus had made a lot of money through deception, through manipulation as a tax collector. He had really made merchandise out of people. And so he felt very convicted by his grave sins in face of the master, who also gave him salvation. because he truly believed, and his belief was demonstrated through action. And this is one of the things that we have to recognize that happens when we truly become a believer. We're not only saved by the death of Christ, but we're saved unto the life of Christ, which is to say that when we become believers, the Spirit takes residence within us, and we then can partake of the divine nature. And in doing that, we can live life that is abundant, as opposed to being a mere baptized secular humanist who is simply making a different profession but living in exactly the same way. We can be genuinely transformed. And that's what happened to Zacchaeus, and that certainly is what is evident in the prologue to your question as well. You recognize that you are now a child of the king and you want to live as a child of the king. So as the king brings things to your mind and you feel convicted about them, yeah, there may be those circumstances that you want to think about making restitution. But I'd also say this, don't do it in isolation because, as I said to a previous caller, feelings are notoriously unreliable. And that's why we don't go this sojourn alone. If you look at Romans chapter 12, you recognize that you're only one member of a body and each member belongs to all the other. Not only so, but they need one another. So without the body, we don't operate well. And the only idea there for you would be that sometimes it's good to get some wise counsel within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. So a brother or a sister that you can talk to and say, you know, this is what I feel. What do you think? And as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can get some wise counsel in this regard.
Okay, thank you so much.
You got it, Brett. Thank you so much for your call. And I'm looking at the clock, unfortunately. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to those still hanging on. Do remember, I'll be right back here tomorrow with more answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. As we sign off for today's broadcast, do remember, resource consultants, they're standing by. The number 888-7000 and the letter CRI on the World Wide Web. We're at equip.org. You can find all kinds of resources, more answers to your questions right there on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also sign up for my daily e-truth. You'll find it daily in your inbox. And I'm doing some e-truth video blogs as well that will be available. Check those out. We look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.
The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute as we must close a funding gap of $590,000 by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you for your generous response.